There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I'm Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, Davy Crockett. I'm Lee.
Coming to you from the D-Town Studios in the free state of Florida, sponsored by Maker's Mark Bourbon, this is Don't Tread on America. I'm your host, Don Q. Let's go. Come on. Hi guys, how's everybody doing out there today? It is Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. How's everybody doing? That's great. So, guys, I got a little show for you today. And it's going to be a kind of a current events type situation. I haven't really come up with the title yet, so we'll think about it as we're doing the show. And sometimes that's how it happens. I'll be talking, and I'll be like, rah, 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 rah. Oh, that's a good title. I'll write that down. So before we get into the show, guys, a couple things, guys. Please make sure if you are on social media, you're following the show at Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker. And on the Twitter X machine at DTom_1775. If you do not have a social media profile, that's fine. I get it. You can check us out at DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And you can email me at DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. From any of those situations, you can reach me directly. I will get back to you a sapple dapple. Guys, please also, whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, if you could please make sure that you're following the show and then make sure you share the show. If you're on Apple or Spotify listening to this right now, if you could please just hit the 5-star, help me out. Doesn't cost you anything to listen to the show. Doesn't cost you anything to do the rating. So those are the little things you could do to help the show out. If you want to help the show out monetarily, I can give you my address and you can send me a check. No? Okay, then you can go to ReaperApparelCo.com and check out their selection. They have hats, sweatshirts, t-shirts. As a matter of fact, I should be getting another package today now that I think about it. But anyway, check them out. Use promo code DTOM to get 10% off. And also, don't forget about the DTOM store over there. He's got t-shirts and sweatshirts too. And these are ways you can help the show out. Help the show, help you, help me, and help the show. So, all right. Is that it? Is that everything? I think we covered everything. Look at that. Record time. Record time, and we're in it. We're in it. Okay. So, you guys will understand what's happening when it happens next week. I will be on vacation for the next 2 weeks after this week. Now, I am also pre-recording shows for while I'm gone. So needless to say, it is a very busy week here at the DTOM Studios. And the dates are getting very confusing because I'm doing shows for next week and I'm using those dates. Today is March 11th, blah, 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 right? And it's not March 11th. It was March 4th. So anyway, I'll try and stay on track. I've got to do 3 more of those shows before Friday, or by Friday, I should say. And it's Tuesday. So it's getting close. Nothing like waiting the last minute, Don. Nothing like waiting the last minute. Good job. Good job. But I had to do a show today. In all honesty, I probably could have done this show yesterday because I had all this information yesterday, but, you know, I'm just a dude with a full-time job and a part-time podcast, and I contemplated over even doing the shows. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm better than that. I'm not going to be like the guys that get paid to do this that say, I'm taking a week off. Deuces. You know, I feel like there's enough things to talk about, you know, outside of being a news program, there's enough things that you can do that you could talk about to keep your show active, even when you go on vacation. We're all humans. We all deserve vacation. So I'm not faulting anybody for taking a vacation. But I guess in the grand scheme of things, with me being who I am and who this show is, and it's not that we're some crap-ass operation. Now, I know that there are people that I personally know that listen to this show. I mean, there's not a ton of them. There's a handful of people that I personally know that listen to this show. Now, I'll say this about that. Now, I would say most of those people probably don't realize the scope of what this show is and what it's doing. Because you might see me at work and you see, oh, there's old Don, you know, And I'm not making any money doing this right now. But in the grand scheme of podcasting, this is not the worst show out there. It's not number one, obviously. I'm no Roe Jogan. but we're not doing that bad. For just a dude that, I mean, I know I say this, and I say this jokingly. I mean, I'm not joking, but you know what I'm saying. You know, I am seriously just a dude. I'm just like you guys. I'm just a regular old guy, 50-year-old man from the state of Florida who has a job, full-time job. I have a wife and a house. I have kids. I have grandkids. I have hobbies outside of doing this podcast. I go to the gym. I work on my car. I do things with my, you know, my kids and my grandkids. I'm a very busy person, much like you guys are too. You probably work and have a job, one or two jobs. You probably have a wife and kids, and or husband and kids and grandkids, and you have those things. You have to mow the yard. You have to do your chores around the house. You have to clean the kitchen. You have to clean the house. You know, those types of things that have to be done on a regular basis, on top of me trying to do this podcast three times a week that I'm not making one penny off of. You have to suffer, and it's not suffering. It's not like I'm, if I could do this for a living and do this 5 days a week and make a comfortable living, I would do it at a drop of a hat. I wouldn't even think about it. But until that time comes, I have to suffer a little bit by working and doing all the other things that need to be done. And that's where you guys come in. The little things you can do, I mean, yeah, visiting the different sponsors, the DTOM store, Reaper Apparel, those things, those help. Subscribing to these channels help. They don't cost you anything. Like I've said before, if you're on Rumble and you have an account, I don't necessarily care if you watch me, because if you are watching me, I'm nothing to look at. I'm not saying I'm you know, Quasimodo over there, but I mean, if you're listening to the show, you sure shit don't need to go to Rumble and watch it. I get that. But if you have an account on Rumble and you watch other things on Rumble, it doesn't hurt for you to give me a follow. Don't Tread on America TV. Just follow the show. If you watch it, you watch it. If you don't, cool. But if you could follow, the more followers, the better off we are. And it's the same thing with the social media profiles. If you're on one of those platforms, or if you're on all those platforms, if you want to follow the show, those little things help more than you realize. And in all honesty, I don't post a shit ton of stuff. So it's not you're going to get bombarded with crap from the DTOM guy. They're posting all this shit. I don't post a lot of stuff, in all honesty. On Facebook, the majority of my posts are this show. Okay, shows out. So you get that three times a week. Occasionally, I'll throw a meme up there if I get a wild hair up my ass. Other than that, that's it. So it's not going to kill you if you're on those profiles to follow me. But that will help me. gain following and help me get more sponsors and so on and so forth. That's basically how this all works. Because in order to get a sponsorship from whoever, they want to know that you are going to be able to spread the word, so to speak. If I'm sitting here doing a podcast and I'm talking to five people every time I do a show, I'm not spreading the word. If I have a Facebook page for this show and I have 20 people that follow the show, I'm not spreading the word. We have over 1,000 on Facebook. We're getting, you know, 3,000-4,000 downloads a month. Now, I know those aren't Joe Rogan numbers. Those aren't, I understand that. But in comparison to the amount of podcasts that are out there, 4,000 a month is pretty good, okay? And to put it in essence, it works out like this. If you're getting around 100 downloads a show in the first week of doing the show, you're what they consider a top 20% podcast. And that's about where we're at. So we can be better than that with y'all's help. And how you help is, you're listening, is share the show. Now, I'm going to quit talking about it because we're already 11 minutes into the show. And if there's anyone new here, I don't want to scare them off, so let's get to it. So I found this clip, and I just, it really bugs me. It really doesn't have a whole hell of a lot to do with what the rest of the show is. I mean, it kind of does, but this shit just kills me the way these people on the left are. It just, I don't get it. I don't understand their hatred for people like us. Listen to this here.
These civilized people, they'll eat each other.
You are the unvaccinated. You are the problem. It is the unvaccinated who are the problem, period, end of story.
The only people that you can blame, the only people you can blame, this isn't shaming, this is the truth. Maybe they should be shamed, are the unvaccinated.
It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
Anyone you came into contact with will blame you, as will the rest of us who have done the right thing by getting vaccinated.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
I think it's time to get our moral house in order, Anderson. It's the unvaccinated who are the threat.
All of us vaccinated folks are going to start wearing masks to protect the unvaccinated folks. It's called a Christian value.
You're basically punishing the vaccinated for the sins of the unvaccinated.
People are not behaving honorably. The unvaccinated are basically saying, well, it's open season for me. I can do whatever I want as well.
The unvaccinated are basically beating their breasts, running around the country saying, we don't care. We're living free and so forth.
Damn straight, motherfucker. Damn fucking straight. That's exactly what we're doing.
But our patience is wearing thin.
Fuck you.
Unvaccinated.
And fuck
you. A group
that
includes children and people acting like children. And the rest of us are starting to get pissed off.
The vaccinated feel the unvaccinated are making me upset or angry.
This is not about freedom or personal choice.
Well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom.
The other day, Howard Stern weighed in with a much different approach. Take a look.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, you now, it's mandatory to get vaccinated. Their freedom.
But you're treading on our freedom and you're making other people sick and really you're killing other people.
The anti-vaxxers, they seem to have a thing for death and home remedies.
The anti-maskers turned in.
I'm gonna stop it there because they're all saying the same thing and this is pissing me off as it goes on because this was obviously a few years ago. Now, how stupid do you think these people think? Now, I'll tell you that they probably don't feel stupid at all because they're so stupid, they probably forgot they said it. And then if you showed them this, they'd be like, we never said that. What are you talking about? You know, now the CDC is pushing the 10th booster. 10th booster. Do you realize I can't imagine that if you're listening to the show, you're a person that's had any shots. And you might have had one or two because you thought you were doing the right thing. But I can guarantee you there's not anybody listening to this show that's had more than two shots. I can guarantee you because they're morons. Period. You cannot honestly believe that what they're telling you is true. It's not a vaccine because never, and I'm not going to spend all day on this. I just want to say this. Not in my life, and I am the furthest thing from a scientist, but I will say this. The handful of things that I've done in recent times in my life, in the last 4 years, let's say, that subverted science has done more good for me than it has bad. And it's done a lot better good, if that's a term, than bad. When we can look at people that have been vaccinated and had 6 shots that have died, and I'm not laughing at them. I feel bad for them because they followed the idiots that told them to do this. Now the CDC is putting out that you have to get a 10th shot. The vaccine is not what it is. It is, I don't know what it is, but there's something there that they want to keep pushing this. But we all know, and like I was saying, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a virologist, I'm not a biologist. But I do know this. When you take a vaccine, you're vaccinated. Period. When you're a child, you know, and we could talk about babies getting vaccinated, but, and I'm not even talking about the newer schedule where they get like 50 shots. I'm talking about when I was a kid. and for life, I want to say we got polio, measles. I don't even know. It was probably like 5. Okay. And I don't recall having to go twice a year for the rest of my life to get those shots. Once I got the shot at a baby, I do think at one point when I was like in middle school, I had to get updated shots, but I think it was like for tuberculosis and shit like that, if I remember correctly. I mean, that was a very long time ago. But my point being is I don't remember getting a polio shot every year for the last 50 years. I don't recall getting the measles shot. Hell, there wasn't even such thing as a chickenpox vaccine. You just got chickenpox. Someone in the neighborhood got chickenpox. You all went to that person's house, and everyone got chickenpox. That's how the vaccines worked back in the day. But we didn't get a vaccine for polio or the mumps or measles or, you know, whatever, smallpox, every year till the day we die. But that's what they want to do with this, with the COVID shit. And they're even pushing the flu shot just as much. And obviously the flu shot's been around a little bit longer than COVID shot, but I never even got one of those because it was amazing. The people that I knew personally that would get these flu shots actually got sick. And I'm like, you get a flu shot so you don't get the flu, but you still get sick. Now, I understand that the flu, you being sick, you having a cold or a fever or whatever, isn't necessarily the flu, but I cannot get the flu shot and maybe not get sick at all. You understand what I'm saying? Why would you do that? Why would you put a living organism in your body that might not even work or might just make you sick? It doesn't make any sense. I just can't wrap my head around it. Anyway, so on to more important things. So there's a lot of stuff that happened yesterday. Obviously, we're going to get to the Supreme Court in Colorado and all that stuff. But, you know, I came across this story, broke yesterday, and I haven't really heard anybody talk about it. So, and maybe someone has today. I don't know. I haven't listened to any podcast today as far as what anyone has done today. And I haven't watched the news today because, you know, I've been at work. But here's a border crossing number that you may not know even exists. Like I said, this broke yesterday. The Biden administration admits flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border and has national security at the border that has national security vulnerabilities. So Joe Biden's administration has admitted transporting migrants on secret flights in the U.S. Lawyers for the immigration agency claims revealing the locations could create national security vulnerabilities. Custom and Border Protection has refused to disclose information about the program last year, secretly arranging flights for thousands of undocumented illegals, let's just call them illegals, from foreign airports directly to the U.S. So that means it's not like they crossed, it's not like they caught them in or got them in Mexico or just as they crossed the border and then flew them to wherever. They were flown from foreign airports. Could have been in Mexico, could have been in Honduras, could have been in China, could have been in Africa. Flew them from a foreign airport directly to the U.S., bypassing customs, bypassing everything that you as an American citizen would have to go through. So what it means is that while record numbers of illegals were flowing over the southern border last year, the Biden White House was also directly transporting them into the country. Use of a cell phone app has allowed for the near undetected arrival by air of 320,000 aliens with no legal rights to enter the United States. It comes after controversy over the 2022 transportation program in which the administration used taxpayer money to move the illegals throughout the country on overnight flights. Now, you probably recall hearing about these overnight flights, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months ago. Because now that I'm reading the story, I do recall hearing that. And I think we were under the assumption that they were flying them from Texas to wherever. Come to find out, those flights were coming from outside the country. And like I said before, if you've ever flown internationally, okay, I've never flown internationally from, you know, on a commercial flight, you know what I'm saying? But if you fly in from Paris, let's say, to New York, you don't just get to, it's not like flying from Texas to New York where you just pick up your baggage and you go about your business. You have to go through a screening process because you're coming into the country. You have to show your passport. You got to show that you're, you know, especially if you're American, you have to prove that you live here. Here's your passport. Here's whatever. And if you're visiting from France, same difference. But these other people were able to be flown in from God knows where, and they didn't have to go through the terminal. They didn't have to go through borders and customs. They could just walk right the fuck in. And they were given a cell phone. They were given a debit card with $5,000. And they were probably told, they may have been given a date or someone to go meet somewhere. I don't know. But the reason you have to ask the question, why aren't they saying, oh, we had these flights go to, you know, New York, Chicago, LA, whatever. Why aren't they telling us where these flights went? What's national security? What's so important that we can't even say, oh, it was wherever? And as I started to do more research for this show today, I came up with an idea. Is because they don't want to play that again. Let me delete that. This is Attorney General Merrick Garland, and he's speaking the other day on voter ID laws. And right, just to give you an idea of what I'm thinking is going on,
is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. That is why we are working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of black voters and other voters of color.
So that kind of explains it. Now, he was talking about voter ID. But if you also listen to what he's saying, he's not he is referring to black voters, but he's other people of color. So if you move these illegals straight into, now you wouldn't want, you don't need to move them to New York City or Chicago or places like that. You need them to go to Ohio and parts of Indiana and Tennessee. And you know what I'm saying? You need to put them in red states. And because, like, in a, let's say a state like Tennessee, for example, is mostly Republican, obviously, just like every other state. They, even if it's a red state, they have blue cities like Nashville and Memphis, and you know. But the overwhelming population doesn't reside in those cities. Therefore, they're able to have more of a right-leaning political identity. And same thing in Florida. We have Tampa and Orlando, and I think Miami has actually kind of turned more red, but Jacksonville, St. Pete, you know, those are more of your blue-leaning city centers. But the majority of the population doesn't live in those cities. Therefore, the state's able to maintain a red color. Unlike, say, New York, where half of the probably more than half of the population of the state resides in New York City. Therefore, that one city controls the destiny of the whole state. But so if you move these migrants, these illegals, into these areas, especially if you can get ones that speak English, you know, they can kind of come in and assimilate a little bit easier, and then maybe they start voting. Maybe they go in and vote for Biden. You know, it's just a suggestion, or I guess it shouldn't be a suggestion. They already know. Just an idea that I'm thinking in my head. But there was some good news yesterday, so you probably already heard this, but I'm just going to give you my two cents on the whole situation. So yesterday, the Supreme Court overturned Colorado's decision to leave Trump off the ballot. So they ruled that Donald Trump can run for president and be on the ballot in all 50 states. So that means you had other states that were still contemplating this of kicking him off the ballot, and obviously now it's a moot point. And that the insurrection clause doesn't disqualify him despite how loud the communists cry about J6. And the crazy thing about it, it was a unanimous vote 9-0, which it should have been. I mean, it should have been. But just knowing the people in the Supreme Court, I'm surprised it wasn't like a 5-4 type situation. Now, they did. Excuse me. Nah, they hit me all of a sudden. They did leave the door open to possibly allowing Congress to change the laws. Now, mind you, it's March, so I guess good luck with that. But here's the thing that kills me about all this. The states that want to keep him off the ballot are citing that he incited an insurrection, or as Chuck Schumer says, exciting an erection. So, you know, there's that. But this is the Secretary of State of Colorado. This is what she had to say.
My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able, under our Constitution, to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision leaves open the door for Congress to act to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body. So ultimately, it will be up to the American voters to save our democracy in November.
As well it should be. But it's... Give me strength, Lord. Give me strength. Here's the thing. He simply said, march peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol and let your voices be heard. He didn't say grab guns and pitchforks and torches and let's burn this motherfucker down. No, that would have been like Maxine Waters that said, you know, punch him in the face and do all this other stuff. He said what he said. You did have individuals that said, took it to the next level. You also had individuals that took it to the next level as instigators, paid propagandists, paid influencers that coerced, you know, innocent people to do these things. Now, the thing is this, like this dumb bitch just said, a oath-breaking insurrectionist, okay? There was no insurrection. As much as I'm not a doctor or a biologist, I am also not a lawyer. But I do know this. Of the God knows how many people that were arrested, how many people were charged with insurrection? So if you had members of far-right extremist groups, police officers, Olympic gold medal swimmers, and an active U.S. Marine, they are among the hundreds of people who have been convicted in the massive prosecution of J6, of the J621 riots, in the 3 years since the stunned nation watched the U.S. Capitol attack unfold on live TV. Washington's federal courtroom remains flooded with trials, guilty plea hearings, and sentencings stemming from what has become the largest criminal investigation in American history, and the hunt for suspects is far from over. We cannot replace votes and deliberation with violence and intimidation, Matthew Graves, the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, told reporters on Thursday. Authorities are still working to identify more than 80 people wanted for acts of violence at the Capitol, and to find out who placed pipe bombs outside the Republican and Democratic National Committee's offices the day before the Capitol attack. And they continue to regularly make new arrests. Even some J6 defendants have been released from prison after completing their sentences. So the pipe bomb situation, no one's really even discussing that. Now, the one person that I have heard talk the most about it would be Dan Bongino. And even then, his summation of the whole situation is that it's almost like they knew, especially at the Democratic one, that they knew those were there, but it was almost like a backup plan to, just in case things didn't work out the way they thought they would work. So it almost makes me wonder if J6 was a planned attack from the inside and it had nothing to do with Trump. It was based on the fact that they knew he was going to give a speech and they knew he was going to say whatever he was going to say, that they could use those words to say he incited an erection. Chuck Schumer's word. Do you understand what I'm saying? So these people aren't dumb. So let's just paint a picture here and just say, what if, you know, I don't even know Pelosi's this smart, so we're not going to use her for an example, but just whoever. If they knew, you know how Trump operates, okay? You know that he's bombastic and he's boisterous and he's going to come out there and he's going to wave his dick around and he's going to do what he does. Now, not knowing exactly what he was going to say, you knew he would say something because it wasn't like this was the first time he spoke about the election. So you knew he was going to say something that could be deemed as firing up the crowd. So what if the deep state, whatever you want to call them, what if these individuals planned to have like the Roy Epps and those types of individuals in the crowd to kind of spark the situation? And knowing that you're going to have, you know, hundreds of people there, hundreds of thousands of people there, that you're going to get some of those individuals to get fired up. You know, it's kind of like getting ready for a football game, right? But even with all of that, these individuals, none of which have been tried, convicted, arrested, or whatever other legal definition when you use there for insurrection. None of them. The way it breaks down, if you had 1,230 people have been charged with federal crimes in the riot, ranging from misdemeanor offenses like trespassing to felonies like assaulting police officers and seditious conspiracy. Roughly 730 people have pled guilty to charges, while another roughly 170 have been convicted of at least one charge at a trial decided by a judge and jury, according to the AAP. Only two defendants have been acquitted of all charges, and those were trials decided by a judge rather than a jury. About 750 have been sentenced, with almost two-thirds receiving some time behind bars. Prison sentences have ranged from few days to intermittent confinement to 22 years in prison. The longest sentence was handed down to Enrico Terrio, the former Proud Boy national chairman, who was convicted of seditious conspiracy for what prosecutors describe as a plot to stop the transfer of power from Trump to a Republican to Joe Biden. So many rioters stayed out of prison after completing their sentences, including defendants who engaged in violence. Scott Fairbaum, a New Jersey man punched a police officer in a riot, was the first to be sentenced for assaulting a police officer. So none of those charges I read said anything about insurrection. So if you have 1,230 people that have been charged with something, in order for Trump to have incited an erection, to incite insurrection, at least one of those 1,230 people should have been charged with insurrection, which none were. And furthermore, the one person you're saying that incited the insurrection has not been charged with insurrection. He hasn't been arrested. Even the charges that are stemming in Washington towards him have nothing to do with insurrection. So how in the hell do you, as a Secretary of State of whatever state, do you think that it's perfectly fine to kick a person off the ballot because they, broke their oath of office and was an insurrectionist? He did neither. So maybe you, as Miss Secretary of State of Colorado, maybe you should be kicked out for not holding your oath of office of, you know, sticking to the Constitution, you know, that old chestnut. But like she said, it is leaving the door open for Congress to react.
I am working with a number of my colleagues, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, to revive legislation that we had to set up a process by which we could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And the House of Representatives already impeached Donald Trump for participating in insurrection by inciting it. So the House has already pronounced upon that. And I am working.
He wasn't charged and he wasn't found guilty of anything. So, Jamie Raskins, you're full of shit. And, of course, you have Jamie Raskins, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Crybaby Swalwell with Fan. That's who you're going after. So, we're probably going to be fine there. But, point being is, they're going to give it a shot. So, of course they are. So, guys, I've got, this is actually going to be a short show. We're approaching 40 minutes. I got one story left, and then we're going to call it a day because I need to get some more stuff done. And then I don't know if I'm going to record another one today because I think I might have drank a little bit too much of the whiskey and shit happens. But I can get stuff together for tomorrow because I just realized today is Super Tuesday. So before I get to this last story, I just want to reiterate that you guys, please, the importance of following this show is the fact that I might do a show tomorrow. Just because if the Super Tuesday, if anything crazy happens tonight, I probably want to talk about it tomorrow. I don't want to wait till Thursday. But either way, please follow the show, guys. It's important. All right, so this is something that when I was doing the research on the border situation there with him flying illegals in, I actually came across this little chestnut. And this was actually broke. It was this morning when I saw it. So this broke this morning, I guess. Now, when I say this morning, I'm talking like 1 o'clock in the morning. You're welcome. It's 3:10 now. I'm getting a little tired in the afternoon, I should say. So electric cars, you know, the big push for EVs, electric vehicles, trucks, bikes, whatever, right? Electric cars release more pollution than gas-powered cars, study says. Do I have a mic? I have a pen. Pen drop. Guys, think about it. For the last, what, 3-4 years, it's been nothing but EVs, you know, Teslas. We're gonna build electric cars. We're going to do this. We're going to be all electric. We're taking government cars to electric cars. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. In the meantime, Ford has closed down one of their EV plants. They've shrunk their workforce. I think GM's doing the same thing. Why? Because no one's buying the fucking pieces of shit. The beautiful thing about America is even if, like me and Chris talked about this a while ago about electric vehicles, and we feel that the plan was, if you have an electric vehicle or if you know of somebody that does, you know that the drive length, I don't know the word I'm looking for there, isn't very long. And in a lot of cities, you know, especially depending on where you live, you don't have many options for plugging in. It's not like stopping at a gas station. And so there's that hassle. And we felt that one of the reasons they were pushing the EV was like for these 15-minute cities. And, you know, you have an electric car, you only got like 300-mile range and da-da-da. They stop people from traveling and so on and so forth. But on top of the cost of having the car, having to buy the battery, you know, the charging station for your garage and all this other shit, on top of the fact that if you did go somewhere, you have to hope that wherever you're going, there's a fucking charging station so you can get the fuck home, right? But now this comes out that electric cars release more pollution than gas-powered cars. So let me find the story. If I can get past all the ads, we have the story. We don't have the story. Do we have the story? We don't have a story. Okay, so I think it's all just little clips underneath pictures here. Okay, so electric vehicles may release more pollution than gas-powered vehicles, according to a report that has recently resurfaced. The study, which was published in 2022, but has begun circulating again after being cited in a Wall Street Journal op-ed, found that brakes and tires release 1,850 times more particulate matter compared to modern tailpipes, which have filters that reduce emissions. It found that EVs are 30% heavier on average than gas-powered vehicles, which caused the brakes and tire treads to wear out faster than standard cars and release tiny, often toxic particles into the atmosphere. And on a side note to that, if they cause the tires and the brakes to wear faster, then you're having to buy new tires, which, what do you do with the old tires? They go to a landfill. You know, your brakes, those aren't biodegradable. Hell, I've got my car, 2017 Mustang GT Power Pack. Got it in 2017. What are we, 20? I've had it 7 years almost. And no brakes. Same brakes. Well, Don, maybe you need brakes. Well, no, maybe I've only got 34,000 miles on the car. So maybe there's that. Anyway. Hisham Rakha, a professor at Virginia Tech, told Daily Mail that the study is only particularly correct because even though EVs are heavier, their tires will emit more microplastics into the air. But this could also be true for sedans versus SUVs. Rakha said it's very challenging to determine the difference between the amount of microplastics emitted from EV tire treads versus gas-powered vehicles because you have to separate them. Blah, 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 blah. I think the point of the matter is this. If you take car A that's a gas-powered car, let's say, let's just use an F-150 for an example. Okay, because they make an F-150 gas-powered, right? And they make an F-150 Lightning, which is electric. Same vehicle. Same platform, right? Same tire, same brakes. But the F-150 Lightning is going to be heavier. Why? Because it's got 50,000 tons of batteries. It's not really, but you know what I'm saying. So I guess that would be your comparison. If we took a gas-powered, you know, 4.3-liter V6, whatever. I mean, they have different engine platforms, but whatever one you want to pick. Even if you pick the V8. Versus the EV and just drive it for a couple thousand miles. You know, say, okay, we're going to take both vehicles on the same road trip. They're going to go to the same place. They're going to drive for X amount of thousands of miles. and return home. We're going to see whose tires are worn faster, whose brakes are worn faster, and that'll make your conclusion. So there is a way to do it. And I'm just using that as an example. I'm pretty sure there's cars versus trucks. There's cars that are made in the gas-powered and the EV-powered but have the same basic platform. So there's ways to make this comparison. So the fact that Hisham Raqqa wants to try and dismiss this, he's being an idiot, even though he's a professor, because he's a professor, he's smarter than all of us. But even he should be able to realize that you could take similar platform cars and make the comparison. Now, obviously, you couldn't say Tesla versus a Taurus, a Ford Taurus, let's say, because they're different platforms. But in Ford and Chevy, Mercedes, Audi, these different manufacturers all have platform cars that have a gas version and an electric version. The platform's still the same. It looks like an F-150, but it's electric. You understand what I'm saying? So there are ways to make that comparison. For him to just dismiss it obviously means he's an asshole and he thinks he's right and you're stupid. But even me, just a dude with a full-time job and a part-time podcast, can figure these things out. So fuck you, Mr. Professor. EVs are bad for the environment. And let's never mind the fact that they're stripping the shit out of Africa for lithium. Let's forget about that. We won't even talk about that environmental hazard. But who cares about those people over there in Africa, right? Just saying. All right, guys. I think that is all we're going to do today. So, I mean, good enough. Not quite an hour, but we're close. We're in the ballpark. Okay? You're welcome. So, with that being said, please, guys, make sure that whatever podcast app you're listening to this on. Wrong button, Don. Wrong fucking button. Jesus Christ. There we go. Let's try that one. Trying to get some music going here. make sure whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, you are following the show. You make sure you share the show, guys. Make sure you go to the DTOM store, ReaperApparelCo.com. The links are at the bottom of the podcast app in which you're listening to this on. Make sure you follow us at Don't Tread on America TV on Rumble and on the social media apps at Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or True Social, and on the Twitter X machine at DTOM_1775. And don't forget about the website, DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And you can email me direct at DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. Other than that, you guys have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday. And I'll talk to you again maybe tomorrow, but definitely on Thursday. You guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you later. Peace.